Matthew 19:14, but he said, leave the children alone. This is when the children were coming to Jesus, and his disciples tried to stop them, you know, and said, you know, the master doesn't have time for kids. But he said, leave the children alone. Allow the little ones to come to me, and do not forbid or restrain or hinder them. For of such as these is the kingdom of heaven. And he says we must become like a child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. So this morning, you just saw a video about 60 elementary children that we are privileged to minister to on Wednesday nights. This is where your offering goes, part of it. You only see them out usually on our parking lot, and you probably say, you know, there ought to be some place these kids could go besides the parking lot. Let me tell you something. About 6 years ago, there were kids in the old church around on the west side of the church who were doing things they had not to be doing, and I said, you know, somebody ought to do something about these kids. Well, God whispered in my ear, you are somebody. You all are somebodies. You know, your hands are needed to minister to kids, even if it's just to give them a pat on the back as they walk by and encourage them. We have lots of little kids that come to our church who don't have parents that come with them that come. And I was one of those kids when I was growing up. My parents didn't come to church till I was almost nine. But I had a neighbor lady who brought me. And some of these kids are brought by neighbor ladies. Diane Bickerton brings kids from her neighborhood, I know. And you know, it's such a blessing, but your dollars also help them, the money that you give, because this is our mission field. You know, for some of them, this is the only place they get a good meal on Wednesday and Sunday. You know, the song that we sang, the one verse that says, I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. That is what we want to instill in those children. That's what we try to instill in our youth when they are here. Those are the generation. That's the next Cornerstone Church, ladies and gentlemen. Those are where we need to be investing. So I just want to encourage you as you give your offering to give it with thanks that it's used to minister to these little kids. And you know what? If the Lord lays it on your heart to work with these children at some time, you know, you're never too old. Look at me. I'm the oldest teenager in this church, and I love it. but you know, God can touch your heart and give you a ministry to children, maybe just once a month, you know, just volunteer once a month. But as ushers, you want to come on forward, and we'll go ahead and take the offering. Father, I just thank you so much for each person that's sitting in these pews this morning. Father, I thank you that they are hilarious givers, that they give with joy, Father, because you have given to them. Father, I ask that you just take the offering this morning and bless it in a way that we can't do it, Father. Help it to multiply, that it touches hearts and lives and whatever needs to be done just here or everywhere, Father. This is our hands reaching, Father, and we're reaching to you this morning to provide for us. So we just thank you in Jesus' name that you love us so much, and you love these little children as much as you love us. So, Father, thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, before we get into the word, I do want to make a mention to you that, of course, as you're hearing, we're focusing very heavily on Friends Sunday, which is on March 25th. And, you know, we're going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. We have so far, and I'm sure we'll continue to. But on the serious side, and what we're really after is, we all know people around us every day who do not know Jesus. And that's really where our focus is on this. You know, you have friends and family and just acquaintances even that are looking for answers in all the wrong places. And they need to hear from you. And we want to help jumpstart this. In your bulletin, you'll notice you have these cards. You might grab those and look at it with me real quick. These are prayer cards because we are a firm believer that we should bathe everything we do in prayer, and that will certainly get this process going in a great way, getting the Holy Spirit on this. And what this is that you may have someone that already the Lord has been laying on your heart that you'd really like to see come to church. You'd like to see them come to the Lord. And what we'd like for you to do is, this morning you can do this, or you can do it in the next couple of weeks even, all the way through Easter. Put their names down for us. And you're going to be able to hand these in the next couple of weeks. Today, if you happen to have some names on your heart already and you fill this in, we're going to actually give you a chance to hand these in at the end of the message, and we're going to go ahead and start praying for them today, okay? So, you know, we're going to cover these people in prayer, believing that their hearts are going to be soft and they're going to be ready to hear about the Lord, be ready to come at your invitation. And that God's going to give you some very special opportunities where you're just going to have open doors to invite them. And they're just going to be eager to hear your invitation. So as we pray over these things, you're going to see those doors opening. You're going to see things happening. You're going to see people that you're going to be able to invite that you never even thought of. You're going to see people who you've invited walk into this church. You're going to see those people who walk into this church and hear the gospel. And you're going to see those people give their heart to the Lord, and their lives are going to be changed. So it's a wonderful thing. And we'd love for you to give us that information so that we can begin praying for them specifically and for you also. All right? Well, you're going to be sitting for a few minutes. So if you'd like to, if you'd stand, we're going to pray before we begin the word. Give you a little chance to stand up and stretch your legs a little. And focus our attention to the word of God this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have appointed exactly what needs to be spoken this morning. We thank you, Father, that all of us, every one of us, has ears to hear from you today, that we are eager learners, that we don't just hear, but that we also take this word and we become doers of it. And Father God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated if you would. You've got a blue outline in your bulletin if you'd like to use it. It might help you kind of stay along with me. And I think I know almost everybody here. I'm Sherry Burneman, one of the pastors here on staff. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be able to fill the pulpit this morning. Thank you, Pastor Bill, Janet. And looking forward to it because I think the Lord has something to share with us this morning. And, you know, started out this way. I know you're going to think this kind of crazy, but I've been thinking about this message for about 3 years now. And this, you know, God's timing is perfect, and here we go. This is the deal that the Lord's been laying on my heart about this today, is to remind ourselves of what's going on around us every day. And that is that people are busy looking for something. All around you, people are busy looking. What are they looking for? They're looking for fulfillment. They're looking for purpose. They are looking for real joy that will last them and not let them down. They are looking for acceptance anywhere they can find it and however they think they can get it. Everybody around us in this world is busy looking. They're looking for those things. And they'll try all kinds of ways to do that. Like we said, they're looking in all the wrong places. You know, a lot of times they'll look for money. They think that's going to be it. Or success. Or they're going to look to possessions. The more stuff I get, the better, happier I'll be. You know, and that sort of thing. Relationships. If their relationships are good. If people like them, you know, and oh, the biggie is our image. You know, we go after all those image potions that are out there to help us. And not only that, but all those workout things and all those, even surgery to get there, you know, because they're searching for something that's going to give them what they're craving. And they're looking for those things. They may even look for an education. They may think the more education I have, the smarter I am, the more degrees I have, maybe that'll be it. And they're searching. People are searching everywhere you look. And unfortunately, as we said, most people are searching for that fulfillment in all the wrong places. And if you've noticed, people who do that, it seems like the more they look, the less fulfilled they get. It's like a vicious circle. And, you know, you may remember, most of you walking with the Lord today, you may remember being in that circle before you met the Lord. And people are like that all around us every day, wherever we go, they're there. And the question is, of course, what will satisfy that need that is within those people? What's going to satisfy? What's going to fill that emptiness that they are experiencing and they're trying to fill? Well, of course, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I can give you the one word answer. Everybody know what it is? Say it. Jesus, yeah, Jesus. But you know, you can go and tell people you need Jesus, and they're going to look at you with usually a blank face, like, yeah, right. And, you know, the question is, how do people find Jesus? Yeah, we know the answer is Jesus, but we can't just walk up to them and say, you know what, Jesus is your answer, because usually that's not, it doesn't get it. How do they find Jesus? That is what I'm asking, and the Holy Spirit is asking. Where is Jesus? Where's Jesus? They need to know. It's one thing for us to say you need Jesus, but are we going to tell them where to find him? They got to find a way to find him. And, you know, there's so much confusion out there. Do we find him through chanting? Do we find him through meditation? Through nature? You know, there's so many ideas out there. Do we find him by keeping the Ten Commandments religiously? You know, is that how what we have to do to find him? Do we find him by committing to a particular church or to a specific Christian philosophy or belief? And there's so much confusion out there. People are telling you all kinds of ways, telling people all kinds of ways how to find Jesus. You got to do this, or you got to do that, or you got to be part of this, or this is required. So many ways that the people are being told how to find Jesus, and they're confused. They're confused. And it's a shame. You know, I got to thinking about it. You know, when Jesus was walking on this earth, he walked on this earth for 33 years. And he walked on this earth. We have that recorded in the Gospels in our Bible. And he walked on this earth. And, you know, if it was just like it was then, because Jesus was walking on this earth, and if someone wanted to find Jesus then, all they had to do was it would be possible to locate him. And they could go directly to him. Boy, if it was just like that today, wouldn't that be awesome? If people say, where's Jesus? And you say, you know what? Go down to 5th and Main. You can find him right there. He's standing there waiting on you. Wouldn't that be awesome? But you see, back in the day when Jesus was walking on the earth for those 33 years, that's exactly what people could do. So that was wonderful. And that's exactly what the woman with the issue of blood did in the Bible. Gives us that account of that story. You may remember this woman with the issue of blood. She had a need. She had a physical need. She was sick. And she tried to fill that need in the only way she knew how to fill that need. And what was that? Well, for 12 years, she went from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor, hoping for the answer to her need. And not only that, but over those years, she spent all of her money. Every doctor wanted payment, of course, for all that, those appointments, all those treatments, whatever they put her through, she had to pay. And by the time we come to this story in the Bible, it says her money was gone. She had spent it and spent it and spent it trying to find an answer, and still her need was not fulfilled. She had done everything she knew how to do, everything, but she wasn't any better. In fact, the Bible tells us that she was worse. Well, she finally realized, after her money's gone, she has no other recourse. She doesn't know what else to do. She finally realizes what she's doing isn't getting her anywhere. All these years, it hasn't gotten her anywhere, except worse. And she realizes she needs to find something different. She still has this need. It's still not fulfilled. She's got to find a different way, because what she's been doing isn't working. So she knows she needs to do something different. And somewhere along the way, she heard about a man named Jesus. I don't know. Perhaps a friend told her, you know what, there's this guy Jesus, and he's got the power of God to heal people. But somewhere or another, she found out about him. And she began to ask the question, where's Jesus? She knew, this is the next, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. So in Mark chapter 5, we read about her story. In verse 28, it said that she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So she's decided to try another avenue. She's trying to find another way to get her need met, to get that fulfilled in her life. And this is the way she's decided to do it. If I could just touch his clothes, I'm going to be well. And that's what she decided. So finally, somehow or another, I don't know how long it took her. I don't know how she did it. But she located Jesus. And she found out where he was, and she went directly to where he was. And finally, through this story, she finally received exactly what she was looking for. Exactly. In a moment. In verse 29 there in Mark 5, it says, immediately, after she touches his robe, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. She had found Jesus, and she had found the thing that would finally really fulfill her need. Well, talking about Jesus walking on the earth and how it was so easy to just find Jesus. I'm thinking about, we've been talking about the 12 disciples on Wednesday night. And, you know, there's times when a person needs a friend to bring them to Jesus. They can't find him by themselves. They need someone to help them find Jesus. And I think about what we've been teaching, the occasion where Jesus was teaching to thousands of people on a hillside. And you're probably familiar with the story. They were all hungry. Their stomachs were rumbling. They were hungry. And there was no food in sight. And they were trying to figure out, what in the world are we going to do? So they had a need, and they wanted it to be filled. So I think about Andrew, as we studied about him on a Wednesday night, and how that he was the one who went out in this massive crowd, and he found one little boy in the crowd who had just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. Not much, just a little lunch for a boy. But yet Andrew was the only disciple who found this boy and thought, I need to bring this little boy to Jesus. And he did. And that very act of just going out, finding this boy, befriending this boy in the crowd, and then just taking the time to bring this boy along and introduce him to Jesus, paved the way for a tremendous miracle that day. Everybody was filled until they were stuffed. 12 baskets of food were left over. What happened? This little boy was brought to Jesus. Another situation. You know, I'm thinking about this. Where's Jesus? If you knew where Jesus was, and if you had a friend who was asking that question, where is Jesus? Would you tell him? Would you tell him? A few of you would tell him. I think you would. Amen. I'm sure you would. And that makes me think of the man who was paralyzed, and he was forced to lay helpless on a bed for years. He had a lot of problems. He had a lot of difficulty. Life was not easy for this man. But I'll tell you what else he had. He had a great group of friends. And those friends found out where Jesus was. He was in a house in Capernaum. And he was there teaching a crowd of people. And Jesus was in this house, and the crowd just continued to flock and to grow and to increase as they were listening to Jesus, until the Bible says that the house inside, it was stuffed wall to wall. And not only that, but the crowd outside was so pressing to the house so they could hear Jesus that you couldn't get into a door or window if you tried. You couldn't get through because the crowd was just so pressing. They blocked every hope of trying to enter the house and get to where Jesus was. And so we see what happens. This paralyzed man, his friends didn't give up. See, his friends found out where Jesus was, and when they got there, they couldn't get to him. They could have said, well, you know, we tried. But they didn't give up. They did not give up. And we pick up on this story in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, 2nd chapter, verse 4. Tells us this is what happened. And when they could not come near Jesus because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Can you even imagine? Can you picture this? Can you imagine it? The scene, Jesus solemnly teaching these crowds, and they're listening so intently, and they're hanging on his every word, and all of a sudden, dust and debris starts floating down from above. They're hearing noises up there. You know that everybody, including Jesus, must have looked up to see what in the world was going on. And as they looked up, they saw a hole appearing, and it became bigger and bigger and bigger until they had full view of these four friends with their paralyzed friend on a bed, ready to lower him down. What a sight! Can you imagine? What a sight! It's amazing. Well, the Bible tells us there in Mark 2, verse 11, that when Jesus saw their persistent faith, I'd say that was persistent faith, he not only forgave the sins of the man who was lying on the mat, but he also said to him in verse 11, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Amen. Wow. And Mark continues in verse 12, and he writes it like this. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. I guess not. They had something to talk about that day. But let me make sure we understand this. That paralyzed man would have never made it to Jesus on his own. He would have still been laying on his bed at home. Real friends bring friends to Jesus. See, we're not supposed to keep the good news to ourselves. We're not supposed to be stingy with Jesus. No. Real friends bring friends to Jesus. Just like they did. All right, so that's great. In Jesus' day, that might have been easier. We could have gone straight to Jesus directly. But what do we do today? What do we do today? You know, Jesus isn't here on this earth as a physical man anymore. You know, when you ask most children who have been in church and you ask them, you know, where's Jesus? They're probably going to answer you, he's in my heart, right? It's just melts you when they say that. Yeah, it's true. And of course, the Word of God tells us that right now, right this moment, Jesus is seated in the heavenlies, and he's at the right hand of his Father, and it says that Jesus is there, and he's making intercession for us. And that's what he's doing, and that's where he is. He's just waiting for the day when Father God says, Son, go get my church and bring them home. That's where he's at. So if someone you know is looking for Jesus, someone you know is crying out, where's Jesus? We can't very well just usher them up into the Holy of Holies and into the throne room and take them directly to the Master today, can we? No. So what do we do? What do we do today when someone wants to know, where's Jesus? What do we do today? That's what we want to talk about. I'll tell you, none of this took Jesus by surprise. He knew he was leaving. He knew, and he had an answer already for this question that we're asking right here this morning. What do we do today, Lord? You're not here. What do? How do we get them to meet you? How do we show them where you are? How do we tell them where you are? How do we introduce them to you? And he understood. He knew he was going to leave the earth. He knew he was going back to heaven. He knew that. But he's still, even though he's in heaven right now, his desire is that people will be able to come to him. So what's the answer? Well, I'm looking at it. It's you. And it's you. And it's you up there. And it's me. It's every one of you. That's the answer. You are the answer. You absolutely are. You are the answer. People are all around us, and they are literally screaming, where's Jesus? Good. And you know, they may not be saying those exact words. They may not even know that's what they need. But I'll tell you one thing, they know they're searching for something. They're looking for answers. They're looking for peace. They're looking for wisdom. They're looking for joy. They may not know what they're missing, but they might as well be screaming at the top of their voice, "Where is Jesus?" Because that is really what they're looking for. That is really what's going to fill the place that they're trying to fill so desperately, is Jesus. I want to share a story with you that I received quite some time ago. I kind of hold on to these things, and the Lord reminded me of this one, and I wanted to share this. It's a little bit lengthy, but pay attention because it's good, okay? There was a group of salesmen, and they went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for dinner on Friday night. Well, in their rush through the terminal with the tickets and the briefcase in their hands, one of these salesmen accidentally kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Well, you can imagine, apples flew everywhere. But they were in a hurry. They were trying to make their flight. So without stopping or looking back, they all managed to barely reach the gate for the plane. They were almost missed the boarding procedure, but they had made it. All but one. One of the men paused and he kind of took a deep breath because he was experiencing a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. So he told his buddies, he said, "You guys go ahead and get on the airplane." He waved goodbye and he told them, "When you get home, call my wife and let her know I'm going to be taking a later flight." And then that man turned around and he returned back to the terminal where the apples had been tossed all over the floor. And he was so glad he did. Because the 16-year-old girl who was at that table selling those apples was blind. She was softly crying. Tears were running down her cheeks in frustration. And at the same time, she was on her hands and knees in that terminal trying to grope and find the apples that were everywhere. And the crowd was just hurrying by her. No one seemed to care. No one seemed to pay attention to her problem. Well, this salesman, he knelt down on the floor with her and he helped her gather up the apples. And he put them back on the table and he helped even to organize her display so it would look nice and neat again. And as he did it, he noticed that some of the apples, because they had fallen and rolled and been kicked by people, had become pretty battered and bruised. So he set those aside and put them in a separate basket. When he'd finished and he got her all in order and everything was well, he pulled out of his wallet, and he said to the girl, "Here, please take this $40 for the damage that we did." And he said to her, "Are you okay?" And she nodded through her tears. And he just continued speaking. He said, "You know, I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." So as the salesman turned around and started to walk off, the bewildered blind girl called out to him, "Mister!" He paused and he turned to look back into those blind eyes. And she said, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride, completely unprepared for her question. "Are you Jesus?" So where is Jesus? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's in you. Where is Jesus? You know the answer. You know. And it's up to you to bring people to Jesus. It's up to me to bring people to Jesus. Because that's what friends do. Friends bring friends to Jesus. And some of you might be thinking out there, "Yeah, but Sherry, I don't like doing that sort of thing." I can relate. I'm not good at that. I don't know how to talk to anybody. I don't know how to do it. That's just hard for me to think about talking to somebody about Jesus. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, and I'm here to tell me this morning, you know what? It's just not that hard. Look at somebody and say, "It's just not that hard." Now look at somebody else and say it again. "It's just not that hard." It's not. surprised when we realize the truth of the matter that when every time you just smile at someone, every time you give an encouraging word to someone, every time you offer to pray for somebody, every time you give somebody an invite card to Friends Sunday, anytime you speak kind words instead of the angry words you really want to speak, guess what? You are showing them Jesus. Where's Jesus? As disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, it's our destiny, it's our goal, it's God's plan for us to become so much like Jesus that people can't help but see him as we live and interact in that world out there where really, you know what? They're blind. They should be saying, "Are you Jesus?" See, Paul understood this, and he wrote about it in 2 Corinthians 5:20. And it says this, "Therefore, we are Christ's representatives, and through us, God is calling you. We beg you on behalf of Christ to become united with God." Friends, bring friends to Jesus. You know, and there might be a question, well, what if I'm not their friend? I hope there is nobody that you know that you would wish that they go to hell. And that's really what we're talking about here. Be a friend enough to at least care about where they spend eternity. They may not be your best bud. You may not even go out of your way to speak to them if you can help it. But surely, surely you want them to know Jesus and go to heaven. So in that sense alone, you can be a friend by just telling them the truth and pointing them where Jesus is. Friends bring friends to Jesus. Those words just keep ringing in my head as we prepare for Friends Sunday. Friends bring friends to Jesus. You don't have to give the salvation message. If you do, great. You don't have to know the four spiritual laws. All you got to do is say, "Hey, come to church with me. Enjoy a free lunch that day." It's going to be a great illustrated message. It's going to be fun. Be my friend. Come sit with me. Be my friend. I'll pick you up. Friends, bring friends to Jesus. Get them where, if you can't deliver the word, don't feel confident delivering the salvation message, get them to a place where they can hear it. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Be a friend. Friends, bring friends to Jesus. Well, I want to talk to you just a moment as we're closing today. As I said, most of you I know fairly well. But I want to check on this to make sure, because I sure don't want anybody to leave here and say, "Well, Sherry wasn't my friend." There may be somebody in this room. There could be one, there could be 20. I don't know. It's not my business. But people in this room who you may really be looking for something. You've been looking for something and you haven't found it, and it hasn't filled you, and you haven't found the answer you've been looking for. You've really been looking for something. Perhaps, like we've talked about today, perhaps you've been looking in all the wrong places. And you've never found what you're looking for. I want to be your friend today. I'd like for our service pastors to come on forward, if you would, and prepare to pray with people this morning. And I would appreciate it if you'd bow your heads and close your eyes and let me just talk to you for a moment. If you would like an introduction to Jesus Christ this morning, I am here as your friend to see that that happens. If that's you and you know it's you, you're either far from the Lord or you're just feeling so empty you don't know what to do, or you've never, never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you raise your hand up real quickly while I'm looking? Just put that hand up. Yes, I see that hand. I see that. Anybody else? Don't rush. We're not going to rush. We want to make sure. Are you asking, where's Jesus? Do you need to meet with him this morning? Raise your hand. Just let me know. Yes, I see that. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if Jesus was standing right here and you're out in that congregation and you wanted to meet Jesus, I would bring you to him and I would say, Jesus, this is Sherry. Sherry, I want to introduce you to Jesus. So if that's you and you'd like someone to pray for you this morning and make sure you get that introduction to Jesus, I'm asking you to come forward and let one of these people pray with you. Just stand right up. Everybody stand with me. Well, make it easier for them to get out if you would.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.